Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Vicat Group Full Year 2020 Financial Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are on listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Matteo Carlotti, Investor Relator of Vicat Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to the European analysts, and good morning to the American one. Thank you for joining us for this presentation of Vicat's full 2020 financial result. I'm Matteo Carlotti, the Group Investor Relator, and with us today there are Massimo Neresini, the Chief Executive Officer, Alessandro Paterniani, Chief Commercial Officer, and Giampaolo Simeonati, the Chief Financial Officer. Let me first of all remind you that in order to follow this presentation, you could download it from our website at the Investor Relations page. Be also aware that the presentation may contain specific statements that are neither reported financial results nor historical information. Any forward-looking statement about 2021 are based on Vicat's current expectation and assumption on future events and are subject to various risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected or implied by this statement and from historical trends. As usual, and as mentioned by the operator, at the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session during which you could submit your questions. Please remember to introduce yourself. Thank you for your attention, and let's give the floor to Mr. Neresini, our Chief Executive Officer.
Good afternoon to one all. I'm pleased to speak with you again, and thank you for attending the Vicat conference call today on our full year results. Last year opened with many unknowns due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which first hit some areas of the world and then spread dramatically over the whole planet, upsetting the lives of all of us. The dimension of what we are still experiencing today has not only shaken the industrial and financial world, but has touched life, the humanity of all of us, even directly, and we could never have imagined anything similar. Vicat Group has been promoting social initiatives and giving concrete help to both hospitals and small local communities for a long time, and is still doing so today. I would like to remind you that Vicat has always been a reference point for the communities and social sector of our area. One year on, after also experiencing the stoppage of important industrial activities linked to our own, we have managed not only to keep our production and commercial activity going, but also to follow our growth plan. Certainly by addressing problems that only a few months earlier would have shaken us strongly and laid a foundation of ever stronger development, remaining focused on our most important projects and targets. As regards to the financial results today, we are extremely proud to be able to show you a double-digit growth in revenues, EBITDA, and net profit in spite of a year like the past one. The resilience of the company is confirmed and consolidated, as is the solidity of the path that we have taken to accelerate development and international expansion. These exceptional results are the outcome of the work of all of our people, who reacted promptly to the challenges that characterized 12 unique months as we silently celebrated our 60th anniversary. Vicat is healthy, profitable company with excellent margins that pays increasing attention to the creation of a value as a whole, shareholders, stakeholders, but also, as I mentioned before, the territory and the community to which it belongs. In 2020, we recorded extraordinary results with consolidated revenues of over 63.2 million euros compared to the 56.7 million euros in 2019, marking a growth of plus 11.5%. With an adjusted EBITDA of over 24.1 million euros, equal to 38.1% of revenues, compared to the 21.1 million euros in 2019, marking a growth of plus 14%, and with an adjusted net result of 14.6 million, up 16% compared to 2019. We have continued to deliver solid cash generation that allow us to finance the expansion capex of our plants with nearly 16 million euros borne during the year, after the payment of robust and increasing dividends to our shareholders. And at the end of the year, the net cash is still positive at more than 20 million euros. The business growth was mainly driven by the boost of biostimulant products, while retardants suffered the weak of demand in construction worldwide. The nearly 16 million euros of the 2020 capex part of our mid-term business plan were focused on our three pillars: strengthening the production capacity with projects like the animal hair hydrolysis plant, another important animal byproducts. This industrial process is very important for both Sitges and the entire tanning district as a part of the circular economy. The tank park to enhance the storage capacity, improving maturation of our hydrolyzed protein and boosting logistics of the final biostimulant products. Improving profitability with the animal fat refining and re-esterification project to produce biofuel. Upgrading our cogeneration plant to a final energy production of 1,560 kilowatt per hour and recovering thermal energy. And investing in the future development with a new plant for granules and pills, new agronomic and chemical extractive R&D labs, a new warehouse for finished products. The 2020 has been an extraordinary year, not only for the financial results we achieved, but also for the number of the other projects we were able to complete in a so troubled environment. On January 25, 2021, the Italian Ministry of Economic Development signed the framework agreement for the financing of the company's agri-food projects, which involves the study and development of innovative products derived from production waste for the agriculture of the future. The purpose is to study and develop new products and new production processes to support crops in the professional agricultural sector. The project carried out in Sitges, Arzignano and Campo plants and labs will cost approximately 12.2 million euros, with more than 3.6 million being financed by the Italian Ministry and the Regione Veneto. During 2020, we established important relationship with the Chinese authorities to define the construction of the first production plant in China in the Tianjin Trade Free Port Zone, strengthening our commitment to sustainability by obtaining our first sustainability rating last February, which gave us great satisfaction, so much so that in Sustainalytics ESG risk ratings, Cigid ranked in the top 8% of the best companies in the agricultural chemistry segment worldwide. Obtaining a new integrated environmental authorization, which remains valid until 2032 for the production of hydrolyzed protein from animal byproducts in our first-rate Arsignano plant. By respecting the environment in this way, with a view to being a primary company in the circular economy family, and strengthening the range of our products both in biostimulant sector and in that of industrial products for gypsum and biofuel production, the long-term choices made allow us to look forward to the 2021 with great confidence despite the many unknowns, in particular due to the moment that the World War is experiencing. Thank you. Thanks to everyone for your attention. And now let me hand you over to Alessandro for more in-depth analysis. Thank you all once again.
Thank you, Massimo. Good afternoon, everybody. A few comments about our revenues development in 2020. Our double-digit growth was mainly driven by robust demand in the agricultural sector. As Massimo said, we could manage very effectively our challenges with procurement and production, and so we delivered on a robust demand from the market. And we achieved 23.6% growth versus previous year. We may say that agriculture, by its nature, is has only minor impact from the pandemic, as the activity itself is a low-risk activity, and at the same time, the food demand was not impacted by pandemic, of course. And that was reflected into a good demand that we could exploit thanks to our commercial network and our global footprint. Our biostimulants were marketed in 2020 in more than 70 countries across the world. On the other hand, the building industry was impacted by the pandemic. Many building sites were prone to lockdown for a certain period of time. At the same time, many production sites, plasterboard and gypsum production factories, were also impacted by lockdown. And that was reflected into a weaker demand, which drove our performance to a decrease versus previous year of roughly 8%. We had a good development in fat despite the challenges with the volume. And actually, the revenues increased by almost 9%, mainly because of a price effect. In 2020, given the complex dynamic of this market, triggered by the pandemic, the price was continuously increasing, and we benefited of that. Thanks to price, we could overcompensate the volume decrease and keep also our profitability at a very high level. Talking about regions, Europe is still a very important region for us, and it had a positive dynamic, even though it's a pretty mature market, so we don't see such a high growth rate as we see in Asia-Pacific. We are very well established in Asia-Pacific, and we could leverage on the nice growth dynamic. And actually, our sales in Asia-Pacific increased by 19.4%. We also had a very positive performance in Latin America, mainly driven by biostimulants. Talking about North America, our business in North America today is mainly made of retardant, and so we had a certain negative impact, even though it was a lower negative impact compared to what we witness in the other regions. I hand it over to Giampaolo Simeonati for more comments on financial.
Okay. Thank you, Alessandro. Good afternoon again to everybody, and thank you for attending the call today. To better follow the presentation, you can go on page 5, where we report, as usual, the P&L of the year and the comparison with the year before. As already explained when we presented the half year and the third quarter results, I have to remind you that the reported figures at the 31st December 19 do not include the trading results of CG Chemitech for the first 4 months due to the fact that CG Chemitech was an affiliate company until the 2nd May 19 when it became a subsidiary and therefore fully consolidated since that date. For comparison purposes, anyway, we have presented the adjusted net result and adjusted the EBITDA, which are on the bottom of the table on a like-for-like perimeter. CG Chemitech had substantially no impact on the consolidated revenue because the services are provided almost 100% within the group, while its consolidation has effect on the cost of the goods sold, where the quality control services provided by the company were recorded in the 2019. So moving to the business result, the top line was 63.2 million, up by 6.5 million, as already explained by Alessandro. The gross profit was 28.8 million, or 45.6% of revenue, increasing compared to the year before, both in absolute value and as percentage of revenue, because it was 43.8% in December 19. The increase in absolute value is mostly driven by the revenue increase, while the increase as percentage of revenue is mainly due to the fact that CG Chemitech was consolidated for 12 months in the 2020, but only for 8 months in the 19. And on a like-for-like basis, so including CG Chemitech from the 1st January 19, the gross margin of the 2021 is more or less in line with the year before. Instead, on a quarterly basis, the gross margin of the 4th quarter was a little bit below it compared to the 3rd quarter 2020, and below also it compared to the 4th quarter 19. This was due to some higher costs borne for maintenance, overtime, or shifts worked, other than the depreciation charges for the plants and equipment set up during the year. Moreover, in the third quarter 20, we achieved a very high operation efficiency that allowed an absorption of the fixed cost, let me say, above the annual average, while in the last quarter 20, we went back in line more or less with our historical average. Going down to the OPEX, the selling expenses are below the 31st December 19 for the traveling stop and the strict control over the external consultancy. Notwithstanding higher outbound logistic expenses that were driven by the growing volumes and the higher freight rates applied by our carriers. Compared to the third quarter 20, there is a slight increase also for some costs that are typical born in the last quarter, as for example the year-end gifts, but this cost has not a significant effect in the quarter. The R&D costs are overall in line with the 19, except for the reduction of the depreciation for the lab's equipment that were partially offset by the increase of the cost of personnel. The G&A expenses, as already explained during our previous conference calls, have increased due to the rising of the recurring administrative consultancies and external services, and the strengthening of the governance structure post-listing to the MTR. The non-recurring costs were approximately 2.1 million, mainly related to the translisting again to METIA for about 1.2 million, and we incurred in fixed cost, non-recurring cost related to COVID for more than 100,000 euro. and for non-recurring donation to the Hospital of Vicenza and the Hospital of Milan for more than 600,000 euro, again in connection with the COVID emergency. I remind you that the non-recurring costs in the 19 were due to the consultancies for the merger of CC 2000 with Sprint Italy and the listing on the IM Italia for about 800,000 euro and the listing costs for 10.2 million for the reverse acquisition of CC 2000 with Sprint Italy recorded in accordance with the IFRS 2 and this cost, I mean the 10.2 million euro, were figurative costs without impact on the cash flow of the group. Going down to the financial results, we have 13.9 million of costs, entirely due to the valuation at fair value of the warrant liabilities in accordance with IFRS. Again, I remind you that because the switched warrant are convertible at a variable ratio, they are recorded as a financial liability instead of an equity instrument with the change in fair value of the warrant that is accounted for through the profit loss, but they have no cash flow impact for the group and they are neutral also from a tax perspective. By the way, March 21, the acceleration clause finally has occurred. And therefore, we expect that such warrants will be fully converted by the end of June 21. Corporate income taxes in the 2020 are an income for the group for about 6.1 million instead of a cost. This is mainly due to two non-recurring items recorded in the last quarter of the year. The patent box for 3.8 million and the taxation of goodwill and trademark for 2.8 million. While the patent box is the new item of the year, we have already discussed the tax benefit coming from the goodwill and trademark in our previous calls, but we have changed the county treatment compared to June and September, and I'll give you some more color on this side later in the presentation. The net result is 9.3 million against the 4.2 million in the 19. The adjusted EBITDA excluding the non-recurring costs and including such Chemitech EBITDA for the first 4 months 19 was 24.1 million in the 20, up by 3 million compared to the adjusted EBITDA of the 19. The adjusted net result is 14.6 million, growing by a couple of million or 16% year on year. The adjusted net result does not include, besides the non-recurring costs and related tax effects, also the non-recurring tax item that I've just introduced, so the patent box and the goodwill and trademark taxation. As usual, in the appendix, you can find the appendix of the presentation, you can find the reconciliation of the adjusted EBITDA and adjusted net result. We can move on page 7 for a brief explanation on the two most significant tax items. As regards the goodwill and trademark, I want to remind you that in June we have taxed for approximately 3.7 million the trademark and goodwill arising from the merger of CC 2000 into Sprint Italy, applying the favorable tax rate of 16% with an expected gross tax benefit over the next 5 years of amortization of 6.5 million. And in the interim financial statements at the end of June and at the end of September, we decided to defer both the cost, so the 3.7 million, and the benefit of the 6.5 million with no effect in the profit and loss of the year. This is because we decided to adopt one of the three accounting treatments allowed according to the interpretation of the Italian County Body for the IFRS adopter. But based on a more accurate analysis of the applicable IFRS, we decided, also in accordance with our external auditor, to adopt the strictest interpretation of the income tax accounting principle and recording so the net benefit of 2.8 million in the income tax of the year. The net tax benefit of 2.8 million is the net result of the expected gross tax benefit of 6.5 million less the cost paid of 3.7 million. The cash benefit will remain, of course, over the next 3 years, but the economic effect was, again, recorded totally in the year 2020. As regards the patent box, for those of you who are not familiar with it, the patent box is the benefit allowed to the Italian companies that use the intellectual property, so trademarks, patents, software, know-how. In February 21, we have completed the information package for the self-settlement of this tax relief. The tax benefit foresees it for the five-year period 2015-2019 was 3.8 million and was accounted for as income taxes in the year 2020. And the tax, such tax benefit will be used to offset the income taxes due for the year 2019, 2020, and 2021. So will be used in 3 years. Moving on page 8, as you can see, our capex of the year are about 15.9 million versus the 10.1 million of the 19. Massimo has already given a good snapshot at the beginning of the conference call, so no particular comments on this page from my side, unless you have questions later. We can move now on page 9, where there is the working capital, which is about 19% of annual revenue. The operating working capital is lower, both as total and as percentage of revenue, if compared to the last year, mainly due to the higher payables for capex that amount to 4.9 million this year versus the 2.8 million in December 19. This increase of liability offset the trade receivable growth that was due to the robust sales recorded in the last 4 months of the year, so since September. Trade receivable are growing but not showing a significant overdue, and the aging is in line with our historical trends. Inventory is pretty much in line with the 19, but with a different mix of products. We have less semi-finished and finished products compared to December 19, but we have more chemicals and other raw materials. At the end, excluding the payable for capex, the operating working capital is at approximately 28% of revenue, basically in line with the December 19 result. Now we can go to page 10 with the net cash bridge. Net cash excluding the liability for warrant was 20.5 million at the end of December. In the year, Sici generated 22.7 million of operating cash flow. That is a remarkable result. We have then paid 5.2 million of taxes, of which 3.7 million of substitute tax for the goodwill and trademark. We have paid 13.8 million of capex. This amount is net of the change in capex payable. We have paid 2.1 million of non-recurring costs, as commented before. 8.8 million of dividends, and there was the last cash absorption of 1.6 million for the group share buyback program. We can move on page 11 with the final remarks and 21 outlook. First of all, we believe that we got a very strong financial performance, notwithstanding the difficult time and environment, with strong sales, also slightly above our original target, even if with a different mix of products compared to our original expectation. Second, on the operation side, we were able to support these robust sales volumes, also during the period with the lack of raw materials, as it happened in the second quarter of the year. And we demonstrated to be able to diversify also our procurement. And as last point, I'd like to remind, as Massimo said before, that during this year, besides the focus on the business, we have been involved in several different new projects and initiatives that took time and staff effort, as the translisting, the new tax benefit, the project with MISE, the sustainability reporting, and finally the ESG rating. As regards the 2021 outlook, a briefly overview from our side, and for the sales, I would leave the word to Alessandro.
Yeah, in the agricultural market, we had a very good start into 2021, and our expectation is to keep the momentum that we have experienced in 2020. We are going to be granted new registrations in China, which is a major milestone for us. So all in all, positive outlook. Retardants, we are still experiencing a volatile environment, depending on the countries, depending on the pandemic management. We have a certain recovery, but we expect these to become more solid in the second half of 2021. Of course, we will need to monitor the situation going ahead, but our expectation is to have a certain recovery compared to 2020. In fact, the price is still rising and achieving a stellar level. That depends very much on some indirect effects of the pandemic, and especially on the logistic challenges that everybody is experiencing in importing goods from Asia to Europe, and that impacts the palm oil, and that palm oil lack triggers the price increase for other energy sources. So that is benefiting us. Of course, this is a very volatile market. It's not easy to predict how long this situation will stay. In general, we may say that when the global trade will come to a more normal situation, we expect the price to be back to more normal levels.
Okay. So as regards operations, we could borne some higher costs for inbound logistics for some raw materials, mainly for shavings, if we need to procure these materials from outside the Vicenza district. This is not already on the table, but it's something that we must be ready to manage in case. Also, the labor cost for operation is expected to increase for more shifts and overtime due to the growing volumes. And also, the D&A will increase as a consequence of the capex, of the robust capex of the 2020 and the 2021. So on the gross profit, this could slightly offset the expected higher operating leverage arising from the growing sales. Finally, on the OPEX side, we have planned an increase in the FTE, enhance the cost of personnel for new technicians for the new R&D labs, and the strengthening of the sales team in North America and Asia, in line anyway with our internal budget. We have planned also an increasing budget for traveling and marketing costs compared to the 2020. The possibility to spend such budget will depend eventually on the environmental situation, of course. In the appendix, you can find the full balance sheet, the cash flow, again, the adjusted EBITDA and adjusted net result reconciliation. So thank you again. We are done with the presentation, and we are open to answer your question, if any.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Massimo Bonisoni of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gents, and thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions. I would start with some color on your 2021 outlook. You were referring to the first quarter revenues before. Just to understand if I got correctly, last year in Q1 was pretty strong. So if I got correctly, you are growing quite sharply again in the first quarter 2021 in biostimulants. And the increase in fat prices will be also a good tailwind for 2021. Am I right in the sense that it will be another quarter, first quarter, very strong in a sort of double-digit growth potentially?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Massimo. Yes, in general, last year we experienced two conflicting trends. One was the challenge with procurement and producing volumes. On the other hand, we had a robust demand, also with, let's say, a certain attempt to anticipate purchase. So it was very good. Nevertheless, we are still experiencing very good growth, solid growth, and this time we don't think this is anticipation of orders, so it's actually organic growth, yes, and we can confirm double digit.
Very good. And again on the outlook, thank you for the for your words on the operational and OPEX. Can you somewhat quantify the increasing costs from inflation in raw materials and everything else, and especially the transportation cost?
Yeah, we are not speaking about the increase of the cost of raw materials because we still get a selling price from our suppliers for the raw materials that we treat. We are speaking about the fact that we could incur in some higher logistic costs if we have to procure such raw materials from outside the district. Again, we are not experiencing this situation in this first month of the year, but it's something that could happen as it happened during the second quarter 2020.
Ah, okay, I thought it was more related to, I don't know, ammonia cost rather than other chemicals that were increasing.
No, sorry. The cost related to the logistics for the, again, flashing, shavings, and other basic raw materials that we treat.
Good. Another one, more on a strategic basis. The volume growth is pretty strong over the past few quarters and it continues to be strong. There will be a point in time that it will be the production will be a limiting factor unless you expand your capacity. Your inventories are stable, but inventory days are clearly declining. So at which point in time you will need to expand capacity to follow your growing underlying market?
Who could answer that question?
Yeah,
just a moment, we have to align internally.
Well, for the production of hydrolyzed protein from shavings and trimmings, I mean the waste coming after the tanning process. We are increasing, we are setting up the new line for grinding, the trimming, and for the production of 30% more of our final hydrolyzed protein coming from this material. So I think, in my opinion, at the middle of this year, we can increase strongly. Now, at the moment, we are increasing as well because we increase the shifts of in order to produce more quantity of our basic hydrolyzed protein. And you know, we mentioned just the production of a new family of hydrolyzed protein coming from hair. This is a plant that started last year, and is an animal byproduct, this hair, coming from the first operation in tanneries. And this is a great opportunity for CGT in a circular economic, sector, because this animal byproduct was dissolved and was discharge in the sewage producing problems also at the water treatment plants for the production of sludge. We're recovering this material we also have the opportunity to increase the capacity 30% more of our final hydrolyzed protein from animal byproducts in the first and main important facility in Artignano. So we are increasing, you know, we are also, as I told before by by Giampaolo, we are in importing some shavings and trimmings from, also from China. We will start next month, and also from one of the most important producers of meat, JBS of JBS in Brazil. And just this morning, I had a conference call with them in order to start with importing this raw material in shavings, in particular from Brazil. So this is the cost of the logistic, referring to the to what said by Giampaolo. Okay.
Thank you, Massimo. Just the very last one on for modeling purposes. Do you have any figure to give us on CapEx for 2021?
Yeah, the CapEx for 2021, you can consider that will be more or less in line with the 2020.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Several projects.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Matthias Turner of Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Good evening, gentlemen. Good to hear you again. And congratulations just on the strong results of 2020, just to, you know, get that out of the way. I have a couple of questions, and I just want to follow up what has been already asked, and because it sounds so good. Do you confirm a double-digit growth for the first quarter or for the start for the new year in terms of the overall group or for, let's say, agriculture and so biostimulant and fat? And I have to basically deduct maybe, you running against a strong negative base in or a strong positive base in retardants in the first quarter of 2021.
Yeah, all the three business lines are positive, grow consistently. Very solid growth in agriculture, very positive trend in animal fats. For price effect and positive in retardants as well. Altogether, we estimate will be in line between a very high single digit and double digit growth. I think personally, double digit growth.
Okay. Very, very impressive. And basically, you're more cautious on the retardant side due to the end market developments or. Because it seems you already saw over 2020, you know, let's say after the second quarter was like a almost continued, you know, acceleration, of course, from a low base, but quarter over quarters was already a good development. Is there any indication you're more, let's say, anxious or focused or let's say, more cautious on the retardant side?
Yeah, the plans that we have shared with our customers make us think that we can have a recovery in 2021. Of course, it is much too early to make a final forecast for the year because in this current volatile environment, things can change pretty quickly. Nevertheless, the mood is positive. Our customers believe that the worst is at their back, so they are looking forward to recover and to grow, and we have positive signals from them. I cannot comment very much about the market because, you know, in this volatile situation, it's very much guessing. But I can comment about what we are doing to recover, and we have talked to all the customers and agreed on plans. We have agreed on having regular touch base, to make sure that they will follow up on the plan. And it's working well, so we are pretty confident. Of course, you know, we all look forward to have a high percentage population being vaccinated and being back to the usual business. That's completely out of our control, so we are just working on general expectations on that.
Okay, okay. I guess the indications still are quite good. If I basically take the start to the year 2021.
Yeah.
So let's be hopeful.
Yes, that's one element that we have witnessed in 2020 that I'm sure we'll take along with us in the future, which is more competition in the market. So
Understood.
We are equipping ourselves to be more aggressive and to defend our position and to even to attack our competitors.
Okay, okay. On the retardant side.
Yeah.
Or okay, understood. And then just very briefly on, let's say, the tailwinds you currently experience on the FET and biofuel side. I understood that, you know, over the course of the year 2020, and I think in the last part of 2020, you also, you know, finished and accomplished basically moving up a little bit on the value chain on the biofuel value chain, so refining FET as well. So do I understand it correctly that you expect an even further increase of let's say the FET prices overall, and then on top you also would get an additional, let's say, margin of, you know, being higher in the value chain?
Yeah, it's very hard to predict the FET price for the future, yeah, because this is highly volatile. I can comment on the underpinning elements which are supporting the high price. Basically, as already said, there's a lack of palm oil in Europe. At the same time, there's a lack of recovery oils from the restaurant because of the lockdown. And also a lack of animal fat because reduced slaughters, again, depending on the lockdowns across Europe. So all of these together figures a different balance between demand of fat and oils and supply in fat and oils. Therefore, prices are high. How long that will stay, I think reasonably it will stay at least for the first half of the year, but, you know, this is very much guessing because there's not a lot of market analysis which can support this kind of guessing. Having said that, we are working to start with our refined FET. We have already marketed a small quantity in order to test the product with the customer. We are also expecting new authorizations that we need to sell the product as bioliquid. So we are full on track with our plans to add more value to our per ton, to our product. So whatever will be the fluctuation of the market price, we want to extract more value from our production process.
Okay, and just to confirm, I think the last time we spoke, and I think it was on the conference call as well, you saw basically the ballpark on the, let's say, at the margins, or basically, you know, on the value chain margins, that, you know, by refining the FET, it would give you like an 70 to 100 euro price increase or additional margin per ton, I think it was.
Yeah, it very much depends on the market price, because at this stage, an example, some players have stopped their plants because it's inefficient to run those plants because they lose money, because the fuel price is very high. So in some periods of some situations, the market, like like right now, it's not very easy to overprice the product. When the price will go down, it will be easier. But yes, to answer your question, we are in the range between 60 and 100 euros, depending on the market situation, the customers, and the value chain that we address.
Okay. Okay, great. And I have two quick financial questions. First, what sort of effective tax rate you would see in 2021, you know, with now the patent box basically approved?
Yeah, in the 2021, the patent box will have a lower effect because for the period of 15 to 19, we have recorded the tax benefit both for trademarks and for know-how, but for the 5 years period 2020 to 2024, we could take advantage only for the know-how because the trademark is not will not be eligible anymore for the patent box. So there will be the tax rate will be between 21 and 22%, considering including both the patent box effect and the trademark and goodwill effect.
Great. And second financial question, can you comment a little bit on the on the balance sheet, the increase of other net fixed assets, that was roughly 10 million, you know, what is behind that increase on the net fixed assets, on the other net fixed assets?
Yeah, you're right. We had increase of the deferred tax asset, 6.5 million that are related to the goodwill and trademark. So because we have recorded the 2.8 million of net effect on this side, we have recorded 6.5 million of income revenue, and we have recorded a tax asset, a deferred tax asset of 6.5 million. And the other huge amount is always related to the deferred tax asset related to the cost for the warrants liability, for the change in fair value of the warrants and liabilities. We had recorded 13.9 million of cost, of financial costs. Over this 13.9 million, we have recorded about 3.4 million of the deferred tax asset. So it's an increase up to items that are not related to future cash outflow or inflow.
Okay. Okay. Very clear. And thank you for all the comments. And good luck for the new year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. My question has been mostly answered, but if I may, I would like to ask you maybe if you can elaborate a little bit more on what's the state of the development in the plant in China, and what's your, let's say, M&A, how is the state of the art of your M&A scouting, if you are still looking for acquisition, and maybe what you're looking for. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, we are speaking with and discussing with authorities and the Tianjin Trade Free Zone, and they are the owner of the plot defined to set up the City China Technology Corporation Limited. Mm-hmm. And of course, we are speaking and discussing also with the authorities of the Tianjin Municipality. In order to stipulate the final agreement and to sign it in a few months. This is what I think, because you know the COVID-19 permitting, you know, because it's not possible to get in China and to stay there just to organize some Zoom dates, and so it is not really very, very easy to speak about the construction of a plant. But in any case, before signing all these agreements, we are to define the final contract with a minority Chinese stakeholder in order to decide exactly his participation on of our company, Chinese company. And we have already identified him because he is in another field. He is owner of three important plants in pharmaceutical, chemical pharmaceutical in China and in the United States for the research and the developing pharmaceutical products for cancer. And he's very important man because he's really linked with the authorities and that's important for us in order to push and to install and to set up the plant as soon as possible. I can tell you that our engineering department is defining everything and also the detailing, the detailed the design phase of the project. And in my opinion, we could mark out these questions, every questions in a few months. I'm very confident to define also these agreements in a few weeks.
And then this is Gianpaolo, sorry, but we have missed the second question. So if you could...
No, the second question was, your M&A, let's say, approach. Still in the light of your 20 billion euro net cash position, if you are looking for acquisition, what you are looking to buy, if there is anything interesting from...
Yeah, we are continuously scanning the horizon, looking for opportunities, and for us opportunities meaning finding some production synergies, extending our solutions portfolio. And actually we have already assessed some options, but thought they were not good for us, both from a strategic and financial perspective. And it's clear that we want to do it in a way that we have strategic advantages without hurting our financial performance and diluting our profitability beyond what is necessary and right for us.
Andrea, if I may add something, could worthwhile mentioning that we've been looking at a dozen of different dossiers since the IPO, the business combination. The approach has been so far much more reactive than proactive. Nevertheless, there has been a number of opportunities that have been put under our eyes, and we never found anything really, really interesting in our view, also considering that we don't want to dilute our circular economy and green economy soul. So we are not interested in adding new fertilizing or a new product from synthesis chemical or stuff like that. We are much more high demanding in terms of what could be really interesting for us to integrate in our group. Nevertheless, we are looking at steadily. Even now, we are looking at a couple of dossiers. Just to give you an idea about the fact that we are not against an M&A opportunity if a right one.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you, Matteo.
The next question is from Emanuele De Figueiredo of LBV Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I just wanted more, if possible, granularity on China. Namely, can you give us an idea of, you know, what is your sales in China at the moment? Secondly, you know, this partner you'll have in China, is the likely JV a 50-50, or will you keep majority? And then, you know, what sort of CapEx are we talking about? You know, can you give us a range of what sort of the capex which could be involved? And then finally, you know, what incremental revenues do you think you will get from having a plant in China? And do you think the returns and the margins will be similar to your operations in Italy? Thank you.
Yeah, talking about the current sales, we are in the range of 4 to 5 million euro sales, mainly through global multinational companies. And we want to address the big Chinese market, which is in the hands of local players. We estimate that 75% of the local market is managed by those Chinese players. Second question regarding the
joint venture.
No, we are working on finalizing a joint venture where we have a clear majority in the range of 80 to 20% stakes. The capex is in the range of 12 million. And the fourth was the expected
increase in revenue.
Revenues increase. Gianpaolo, you have...
Yeah, the revenues increase is expected quite robust for both the retardants and for the biostimulants. This will, of course, depend on how we'll be able to leverage on the new customers in China. But we think that in 3 to 4 years, we could increase by about 10 million of revenue in total. Of course, this will depend on when we will start the facilities, when we will start the facilities.
I need to complete my comments, because the comment I made about sales was mainly focused on biostimulants. We also have a relevant retardant business in China, and China is an important market for retardants. Our share of wallet with our customers is pretty high, and we also need to make sure that we will not be kept by local regulations. That's also why we expect to benefit from a local partnership. So for us, this investment is also made in order to keep and grow also in the retardants segment.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Just to explain better something concerning the construction of this kind of plant in China. This is not a plant like the plants that we have here in Italy for the production of an electrolyzed protein. So it's, we continue to produce our basic electrolyzed protein here in Italy in our two plants. So we are not exporting our know-hows, our patents, you know, what we know and what we are continuously developing in processes to extract collagen material and to produce amino acid peptides, hydrolyzed protein from this waste or animal byproducts. We are just setting up a plant in China, in which we export from here the hydrolyzed protein, and then the in which there are a logistic plant and some just some mixer in order to define exactly the final formula. This is what we are constructing in China.
It's important, Emmanuel, it's important for you to bear in mind. Internally, we call the project as a Coca-Cola model. We will keep our technology, our know-how, our secrecy in receipt in Italy. And we will export semi-finished concentration of animal protein and hydrolyzed protein that will be only finalized, finished there in China. So no risk in terms of reverse engineering.
Thank you.
The next question is from Marco Vitale of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. I have a couple of questions, mainly on financials, quick ones.
The first one is on the potential, let's say, impact of the fully execution of the warrants. Should we expect a financial income similarly to the, let's say, financial cost experienced in the previous year due to the full exercise of warrants on 2021 P&L? And then on the second, just a clarification of the tax rate as expected going forward. If I understood correctly, you are planning a tax rate of around 22 to 23% in full year 21. Should we expect this tax rate also in the following 2 years due to patent box benefits? Thank you.
Okay. Starting from the warrant liabilities, there will be a lower change in per value, and so lower costs for these liabilities in the 2021. We will record the first change already in the first quarter 2021, and then we'll probably complete the recording of this change in per value of these liabilities by the end of the first half year. Anyway, I remind you that these are this is a financial item, but with no impact on the cash outflow. We are not very focused to look at the change of the per value of these warrants. On the question on the tax side, the tax rate could be, as I said before, between 21 and 22, including both the effect of the patent box for the 5 year period 2020 to the 2024, and the tax benefit arising from the amortization of the trademark and goodwill for tax purposes. So a little bit lower compared to the 22-23% that you have in mind.
Okay, thank you.
Marco, regarding the warrant, please also consider that due to the acceleration of conversion of the warrant that is going on right now, that impact of warrant on the financial statement is close to the end. So from now on, we will have maybe just still a small part on the financial statement 2021, but at the end of the game, there won't be any further impact of warrant after the acceleration.
Yeah, okay, just a clarification on that. So basically, when all the warrants will be exercised, there will be no impact at P&L from only a accountability standpoint. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much to everybody.
Thank you.
And feel free to contact us if needed.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.